And may the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Waiting. When I think of waiting, I think of Tess, 4 years old, in an anguish heap outside the furnace room, her wrapped birthday gift safely behind the closed door. "I can't wait," she moaned. "I need to know what it is." When I think of waiting, I think of a beloved elderly woman in her hospital room. "Is it wrong for me to want to die?" she asked. "I just want to go home." When I think of waiting, I think of standing here with the groom, watching the doors, waiting for his bride to step through. When I think of waiting, I think of so many countless people I know, waiting for testing, waiting for the specialist appointments, waiting for a diagnosis, waiting for good news or bad news, or news that's somewhere in between. Life is full of waiting, isn't it? It's full of waiting. And we have come to the season of waiting, which is Advent. Advent begins with waiting as we join with the Jews in the long silence between the promise of the Messiah and its fulfillment in Bethlehem. We wait with Mary, pregnant with promise, the hopes and fears of thousands of years wrapped up in her swelling womb. We wait with Joseph, who was wrestling with a different kind of waiting than Mary. And we wait like the Christians from generations before us in this long silence that we are now in between the first Advent and the second Advent of Christ, between the promise fulfilled and the promise made complete. Struggling, hoping, watching, wondering. And we wait, each one of us, carrying our own personal stories of waiting. So Advent is a really strange place to be in our society in its headlong rush to Christmas. I made the mistake of going to the stores yesterday to get birthday gifts. It was crazy. It was crazy. While the pace of life around us picks up, Advent invites us to slow down. While everything is jing, jing, jiggling in the stores, Advent whispers to us to be still. And while our culture invites us to enter now into the joy of the season, Advent instead invites us to sit and to stay with the longing. And I don't really know why the church year starts out this way with the absence, but I think at the very least that it tells us something about the importance of waiting. Because waiting is not only a basic part of our human experience, it also, I think, is potentially very fertile spiritually. So what spiritual possibilities does waiting hold for us? Well, I had four simple ideas, and I think as you came in, you would have received a handout. They're listed there. First, I think waiting can shape us. Specifically, waiting can shape us for God and for the world, for service. This is what waiting did for Nelson Mandela. I actually had forgotten how long Mandela spent in prison. He spent 27 years in prison as a political prisoner in South Africa. And while he was in prison, there was discontent and ferment growing in South Africa around apartheid. Those 27 years were obviously not easy for Mandela. He was separated from his family, from his kids. The waiting could have destroyed him, but instead God made those barren years fruitful. He says, "It was during those long and hungry years that my hunger for the freedom of my own people became a hunger for the freedom of everybody, white and black. I knew as well as I knew anything that the oppressor must be liberated just as surely as the oppressed. So when I walked out of prison, I knew my mission to liberate the oppressor was to liberate the oppressor and the oppressed together. And as we all know, that vision, that God-given vision, was one that healed South Africa and freed it from apartheid. Scripture is full of stories of men and women who were waiting. Abraham and Sarah, Joseph, Hannah, Esther and Mordecai, Isaiah and Jeremiah, Simeon and Anna. And waiting shaped them for God and shaped them for service in the world. Waiting shaped Hannah to be the mother of a prophet Samuel, Joseph to be the ruler of Egypt, Esther to be the savior of the Jews in exile, Isaiah and Jeremiah to prophesy. None of these people were born ready for these tasks. God used that waiting time to shape them so that when the time was ripe, they would be ready. Now, of course, waiting itself isn't always fruitful. I think we can all think of people in our lives who have been made bitter by wait. And for all the saints I just mentioned, it's not that the wait was easy. It's not that it was easy any more than it was easy for Mandela. But there was something about them that remained open to God, that made space for God's purposes to take root in them. And that's the kind of waiting that we are invited to do before God. Second, I think waiting teaches us to hope. I had a little bit of trouble with this one because I think it's really closely tied to the first point. But when we're talking about waiting as an act of faith, we're not just talking about neutral waiting, right? Just things are going to happen when they happen. Waiting as an act of faith means this. It means trusting that God will be present in and acting through the happening or through the absence of the happening, if you know what I mean. So spiritually, waiting teaches us to focus our hopes on a person who can be trusted when everything else is out of control. When we are powerless, that's when I think we most often remember the one who is powerful, when our attention is focused again on God. The prophet Micah said, "But as for me, I will look to the Lord." And he said those words in a time when life was completely wrong. He said, "I will wait for the God of my salvation, and my God will hear me." And the reason I printed that handout was to quote from this book that was really excellent. It's called The Landscape of Hope. And it's been so helpful to me because I want to clarify that Christian hope is not the expectation that everything's going to work out, that the cancer will be cured, the pregnancy will keep, the marriage will be restored, and so on. That's not actually Christian hope, although we can hope for those things. Christian hope is that God is good, God can be trusted, God is present, and that because he holds our lives through all eternity, everything that happens in our lives has meaning and value, even the suffering. So hope looks different according to the kind of waiting season that we're in. And she says there's a couple of different kinds of Christian hope. She said hope can mean fighting for a desired outcome and fighting against the things that erode hope. She said hope can be lament. It can be wailing, which is not what we think of as hope. But hope can be lament, an act of faith, crying out to a loving God, even when it seems like we are without help. She said hope can be survival. I love that one. I seem to spend a lot of time there hoping that way. Hope is survival. Persisting in our efforts to stay upright, to keep putting one foot in front of the other, because we believe that things could get better in the future and that God needs our efforts to collaborate to bring us from where we are to that better future. And she said, sometimes hope is meaning-making. Hope can be meaning-making when the tragedy strikes. The cancer's terminal, your loved one is dead. Hope is meaning-making is about finding a way to move forward when there is deep loss. The struggle to see meaning is a testament to our hope that things will become better in time, that we do not need to succumb to despair, because God is good and life is worth living. So seasons of waiting, I think, are an opportunity to learn what it means to hope, even though I think we seldom welcome these seasons of waiting. Third, waiting points us to a future vision that helps us live well in the present. When I was pregnant with Tess, our firstborn, sorry, Tess, there's a lot of stories about you this morning. I was not yet a mom, but I knew that one day I would give birth and I would meet this child in my womb. And because of that hope, I began to live in the present like the mom that I believed I would one day be. So I nested and I gathered clothes. I got Mike to do a lot of painting. I read books and I prayed. And I started to really take care of my body and be more careful as I drove and do my shoulder checks. I began to live as though the future vision was my present reality. Make sense? For Christians, Advent gives us a very specific vision of the future that all of us are waiting for. It is one that Isaiah says, where people beat swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning forks, where nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And this is the vision of the heavenly kingdom that Jesus was always teaching us about. God's future that we are always invited to participate in the present. So believing in the future, we allow that heavenly vision to shape our present. By that I mean we make choices, we say and do things that are consonant with the future that we are hoping for. In the end, we can't make God's kingdom come. That's for God to do. It's not our striving that brings God's kingdom. But when we live into the future that we trust in, I think it makes our living in the present meaningful, purposeful, and good. And lastly, I think waiting opens us to deeper joy. We can see this even in waiting for consumables, for trite things. Mike and I, for a number of reasons, have made our kids wait for a long time for electronics. So Tess had to save and wait until grade 6 to get her first electronic device. And as she can tell you, there were certainly some bitter moments in that waiting. She was the only one in her class without a device on Technology Day, and she actually was the only one. But if you ask her, as I did last night, Tess will tell you that the waiting gave her a gift as well. She believes that the wait has given her a deep and an ongoing appreciation of that device simply because she wanted it and waited for it and saved for it for a long time. Well, I think we can all think of things in our lives that are much more important than an eye device, although they're pretty special, that we have waited and longed for. And the waiting shapes us, and I think it makes it harder to forget the goodness of the gift when finally it arrives. The heartache of the waiting carves a deep groove in our souls, and that groove becomes a well for joy. And that's what Scripture says the kingdom of heaven will be like one day, when the sorrows and the tears of waiting humanity from across the generations gives way to a wellspring of everlasting joy. So welcome everyone to Advent, the season of waiting. And we're free to rush through this season. Sometimes we have to, some years. But I'm encouraging you to embrace this season of waiting, to slow down, to watch and listen, to experience in your heart before God the hope and the longing, to ask the wondering questions about what God wants to do for you and through you and in you, in whatever waiting period you are in right now. What is God shaping you for? What does practicing hope look like for you right now? And what heavenly vision can help you to live meaningfully in your present? Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, and we thank you for the gift of holy seasons that invite us to slow down and ponder. We thank you for this season of Advent, a season of waiting and preparation, a season where we remember your Son's coming as a baby in Bethlehem, preparing our hearts to receive him afresh. And a season when we consider what it means to wait before you as a people of faith, longing and hoping for your promises fulfilled in our lives. And I pray that you would bless each person here, each household, as they take on special practices for their season. May they have a taste of your hope and your peace and your joy. Amen.